weekdays. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With insuremyvan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at insuremyvan.ie.
Oh, I tell you something. Good form doing the podcast this week. We're at the start of what is meant to be the scorching heat wave.
Scorching heat wave of the whole year, I think they're saying at the moment. They've even given up on doing the whole hotter than tourmalinas and everything like that. We can singularly focus on ourselves
now
this weekend.
Now it's hotter than the sun.
Hotter than Jesus. Hotter than Jesus. Imagine that was a headline. Hotter than Jesus today. Holy smoke and all with that, you know. Holy smoke, it's hotter than Jesus.
That would be good. Holy smoke would be a good headline.
But it's the
hotter
weekend.
Hotter than hell.
It really is. We're at the beginning now of the weekend. That is to jump right into all the madness and the sunniness and everything that goes with it. All the Irish contradictions of a good time. Standing in a pub, looking out the window, going, look at that. Absolutely, you'd be mad not to be out. Absolutely mad not to be out there now.
Yeah.
Another point there, Jerry, when you're ready. You know, all that sort of carry on. Trying to find the cheapest 99, the tallest 99, the longest 99, the smallest person that eats a 99.
You name it.
All of that's going to be going on.
And
beach
also,
balls.
Of course, great weekend if you want to do a bit of people spotting, particularly when it comes to clothing choices Irish during a heatwave. There's a uniqueness to that.
There really is, from old fellas with their suit pants rolled up and wearing a full suit, walking around the beach to the fella I used to see. Remember I used to tell you years ago?
Yeah.
I always knew it was the beginning of summer when a man used to walk past my house with a pit bull and a bag of cans and no top on.
Brilliant.
Every year without fail. It was like, that's it. Summer is here, you know.
The topless male. The city-based topless male.
It's a sight to behold.
It's a very Irish thing. Maybe it's a very Dublin thing, is it?
I think it might be. Yeah. I think it might be. There's a fella walking a dog the other day into the wind with his top open, right?
Yeah.
Open, like not even a short, an owl lad, like.
Yeah.
And the short was blowing his short, like wide open, his short was. And he was walking a dog and sweat rolling down his face. And his shirt was so thin, it would made no difference to keep that shirt closed.
Right.
But made no, but he decided to go open with it, you know?
Gotta go.
And then you get them lads, and then you get the lads who...
Do you still get builders doing it, or is there safety things about that now?
It used to
be a regular thing now that they'd be... You
a builder with his top off.
A builder,
you can't.
And this was at a time when builders were, you know what I mean, they weren't kind of... chiselled. They were more darts players than rugby players. Just mean.
I think they still might be, man. It's just they don't see the tops off as much.
Maybe
you know?
That's the secret.
Yeah, maybe.
Just mean. Yeah.
But but you don't see that anymore. No, Jesus, no. Imagine that. Imagine calling a plumber and two lads arrive up with their spin. No tops on. All right. Roasting, isn't it? You know, you just can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And then there's the other type of topless person in Dublin, the man who takes off his top and he walks around, you know, slightly bent forward with one arm up and he's holding his T-shirt on his arm like he's a waiter in a restaurant. You know those fellas?
Yeah.
Walking around, you know what I mean? How's it going? If you don't mind, I'm just walking around semi-nude. You know, and it's just a weird way of holding it, like it's a tea towel or something.
Yeah, and then of course you do get, and it's I suppose this look mainly ladies. I do have to say, mainly the ladies, right, who do rock out clothes that was probably reserved for a holiday, or had been. It's either in existence from a previous holiday where they've been to, you know, the Costa someplace or other, or whatever, right, or they were hoping, you know, they'd have an opportunity. It would only get cracked out in proper, you know, sun splitting the stones type weather.
Yes.
And it may or may not be suitable. Put it that way.
As in, how do you mean?
As in, like, it may or may not fit. It may or may not, kind of.
Can't you? I mean, I'm not going to be giving anyone grief for ill-fitting clothes.
No, not at all.
I'm the most ill-fitting person.
Just saying, it is very much something that the sun brings out in you. There is definitely something about it. The sun brings out in people the idea of, like, you know, where once you'd look at yourself in the mirror and go, geez, I couldn't be seen dead in that. My God, look at that.
Oh, yeah.
And then for some reason, the sun comes out and you think, sure, I'll never get another chance to wear it anyway.
I have to say, I've no right to it. I've done that myself, you know.
You're like, well, there you go.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against walking around the backyard in the underpants and somebody waving in. All right, hey, those are your underpants. They are. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day.
Yeah.
You know,
you wouldn't even worry necessarily about them being like swimming trunks or anything like that.
No.
Just underpants would be fine.
As long as I can pull them up the back of my arse and let the sun shine. That's all that matters to me. I'll never forget the worst tan I ever had, right? I was working as a courier for a few years, you know, and the summer came. And the worst thing about the summer was everyone who had a bike became a courier, right?
Right.
So you would just end up doing spins, right? So I was on the bike and I got, and you're on and off the bike so much, you stop wearing gloves. I know you shouldn't, but you do. You stop wearing gloves, you know, in the hot weather. And I got two tanned hands, right? Just my hands.
Yeah.
So, like, my arms were dead white, you know, coming to the weekend.
So you looked like you'd had transplants.
I was like, what happened to your hands? So I had two very brown hands and two very white arms. And it was that was a weird summer now, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's very noticeable. Like,
that's,
you know,
that's a unique version of a farmer's tan, that is.
Yeah, and it looks like, what were you doing? You know, you're thinking, why, like, you know, it's very, like, creepy thing or something. I don't know. It was just very peculiar. But it's the worst tan sort of lines I ever had.
Do you ever notice as well sometimes with seriously good weather, like proper heavy sun, you know, proper hot sun, right, that you get that a little bit of machoism creeps into it?
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever get to notice that?
Oh, Jesus.
The lads who go for it. Now, I suspect you'd be the same. You're a big factor 50 man, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
But you get the lads who go, no. And they'd absolutely want to kind of, you know, they want to be scorched.
I never burn.
Yeah.
I never burn.
That's the line.
I don't burn. Yeah. And you're going, you actually look like a fucking van. You're so red.
Yeah.
You look. They
won't give into it.
Yeah, no, there's no problem.
Are you sure you don't want to put something like, just like, that looks, jeez, you look like you're, you know, that looks sore. Not at all. No,
yeah,
no,
yeah.
No.
It's not, no.
I'm grand,
honestly,
I'm grand.
You should do something. You're in your 60s now. No, I'm 41. Well, you look like you're in your 60s. You look like you're in your 60s because you've been burning like a leather handbag outdoors for years on end. You know, put something on it.
Yeah.
No, Nate. That's only for tourists or something. Yeah, it is. It's for everybody.
Yeah.
For everybody.
By the way, you've mentioned this loads of time about the way people kind of think that the Irish sun is somehow
less.
Different.
It's different
to
sun.
The Spanish sun.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like there's multiple suns.
I hear that all the time. People come back from Spain. You wouldn't believe the sun over there.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe the sun over there. You go out there, you'd be burnt in a second. It's not like the sun here. It's the same fucking sun. It's actually the same one. And the sun there is different. The sun there is totally different.
Yeah.
It's mad. And the sun there goes down at like 5 o'clock. Not like the sun here. The sun's all night here. That's why you don't get burned, because the sun's so worn out here in Ireland. You know, yeah, people. It's a strange sort of disassociation. Whatever suits you, you know.
Yeah.
Whatever suits you. Like some people will go, "Geez, I'm getting fairly burnt." This is definitely a uniquely Irish thing. They're sitting there, they're in the same spot, and they go, "Geez, I'm getting really burnt on my neck and my back there. Can I swap seats with you?" That's what they won't leave the sun.
Right.
I'll put sunblock on.
Yeah.
They go, "I better turn around because that's going to get real bad. I'll just put it on my face instead for a while."
I'd be one of them.
Yeah.
I'd be one of them.
Yeah, can I swap seats?
I'm
gonna pass out. Can I just swap sides?
I remember actually. This is going back donkey's years. I remember going to see Aslan, right?
Yeah,
and they were playing this outdoor gig. Kind of, I think it was even maybe before the ILAC was built or around. Anyway, right? It wasn't as developed or whatever around there. There was a big, huge car park, outdoor car park, and I remember going and a really sunny evening. And I do, funnily enough, I did end up a bit like Joker or a Batman.
Two-Face.
It was like, Two-Face rather. One side of my face.
All melted.
Was like fully redded up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the other side was just like the normal pastiness.
That's mad, isn't it? That's like, what happened, Jim? Nothing. I'm just very embarrassed on this side.
But I couldn't turn around because then I would have had me back to the stage. So
yeah.
I just had to persevere.
That's happened. I remember not doing a show. I was in a show with a fella, this other, and this is back in the 90s now, right? So the two of us, I got a ticket to Hill 16. I said, "Do you want to come to the Hill?" He goes, "Yeah, I'll go to the Hill." He wasn't an experienced Hill person. He was actually a Nordy.
Yeah.
And we went to the Hill and I was like standing on the Hill, summer, sunny day in June. I put all my sunblock on my face and he was there going, "Have you any more of that?" I'm there, "No, that's it." He was the pouch thing. And he goes, "All right." And he stood there in the Hill, the sun now in his face, right, for the whole match. And we had the show on stage the next day, this period drama sort of sketch thing, right? And he went, you want to see him? He was like, "Oh, dear that, you do be." And he looked like a cherry with a face on it. Like a cherry with a face on it.
Brilliant.
He was like, and like, you know the way your hair goes
lighter.
There's
so many strands to this story, to be fair.
I know.
I mean, long before the sunburn, a period sketch drama.
I know,
drama
I was a
drama
student.
From two lads who are standing on the Hill.
I was a drama student. I know, I was a drama student.
There's so many layers to this.
There's so much, isn't it? Yeah. What do you be doing on the Hill? Therefore art be the victory of Dublin. in time if that does not pass. Yeah, yeah. And his hair, you know the way our hair gets all like faded at the front and everything, and you get bored so bad.
Jeez.
Wisps of hair that went like blonde or whatever. Yeah. And yeah, the trouble he got into, he's there going, "You stood on a football terrace for over an hour." Was there a longer than an hour he was there. "Look at your face."
Actually, remember that time I went on holiday and I got so burnt that I ended
up... I couldn't stop walking.
Yeah, remember that?
That's mad. Yeah, because your trousers got stuck to you or something.
No, it was like... Oh, yeah. It was so bad.
It's prickly heat.
It was so bad, right? The burns were so bad, particularly on my legs, that when the blood would go back to your leg, it was like painful. And so the idea, if you stopped or whatever and there was any... And the blood was sitting or whatever. Yeah, so I had to keep moving. And you'd go to cross a road. And
you'd get to the traffic lights.
I had to keep moving up and down along the edge of the road and everything. And I was with Yvonne on holiday. You'd go into a shop and she'd be kind of looking at things and I had to just keep moving around.
Well, keep walking on the spot.
She'd be trying to
now.
Say to me, "What do you think of that?" And I'd be...
Walking
I'd be,
on the spot.
It was like a drive-by. "Yeah, looks all right, yeah."
I'll just do another lap of the shop. I'll have a proper look. I'm like, hold it up.
That was mad. Yeah, yeah. I ended up like a snake. I was shedding.
You see, you probably
skin.
Should have gone to hospital and all.
Oh,
you know?
Man, it was unbelievable.
And that's
it's
the
a
thing
shocker.
About yeah, it's
Irish
a,
people in the sun.
Yeah, you can't. Like, you can't. But we can't do Irish people in anything, any weather. It is the thing about the moderate climate. We are moderate climate people. There is no extremes that we are suited to of any kind. You know.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Like, not even normal heat in the house. You have two people in the same fucking room, in the same house, right? And one of them goes, "I'm roasting," the other goes, "I'm freezing." And they still can't come to an agreement. Like, there's like a half a degree of temperature that can keep both people happy for maybe an hour. But then if one of them has a cup of tea...
That's it. The body temperature's gone up.
Or one of them has a piss or something. They're like, that's it, we're gone. We're off. We're out of whack. We're out of whack. Nobody can be comfortable anymore. It's a really remarkable thing. It really is, you know.
I mean, the other thing, I suppose, about this weekend, it's going to be interesting to see how packed places get.
Yeah.
Because it is that. There is that sense of like,
get
oh, Jesus, don't miss it. Whatever you do, don't miss it. Because you will. That is the massive FOMO that comes with
sunshine.
Like, you know, it must be heartbreaking if you're working this weekend or you're...
Oh, the guilt.
Whatever, yeah.
Oh, the guilt even if you just don't want to go out.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Do you ever
get
that?
Yeah.
You've done a couple of days and there's another sunny day and you're like, oh, that's amazing. I'm going out now to enjoy it. I go out now and enjoy it now. I go out. I will go out and I will enjoy it. I go out and I'll enjoy it after I watch a TV show. How about that? I go out and enjoy it after a TV show.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to watch the golf. And when the golf is over. Yeah, but the golf is over. It's not over till the evening. So.
Yes.
Ah, yeah.
Oh,
no, yeah. That's all. I'll go out then.
Right, I'll go out then. And then you're watching it going, I should be out enjoying it. I really should be out enjoying it. You know, you start beating yourself up.
Yeah.
Because you're not just doing, because you're not doing more of the same. But this will run out. I'll be sorry now in the winter. Oh, I'll be fucking sorry now in the winter. Oh, the winter's now, that's 16 months long. You know, I'll regret this now. I'll think when we had the sun, I didn't enjoy it. You know, you get so hard on yourself with these things.
Yeah.
You know,
the other thing as well is that if you do go to do something, the worst thing of all is if you decide, right, that's it now, I'm not missing out on this, I'm going for it. And it's particularly if it involves, like in your circumstances now, say where it involves family.
Yeah.
So you can't just move on your own the way you used to, jumping on the bike and going wherever.
No.
But if you've got to load up and, you know, organise a trip en masse.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you get traffic or whatever. Because everybody had the same idea. And then you have that thing of like, you went for it. You went to, we're going out here, we're going to enjoy it now. We're heading to Britis or we're heading to wherever. And it's like 3 hours.
3 hours.
In a car.
People are crying.
With people shouting at you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I told you we should have gone the other way.
Why did you do that? I can't believe you didn't fill up a petrol yesterday. Yeah, I warned you.
And then would you have been better off in the back garden?
Yeah.
I mean, sure, what? I mean, like, Jesus.
Paddling. And you want
it's going to cost a fortune.
I said, shut up. You wanted to go to Portugal. That'd be even worse than this. Yeah. Yeah. You know all that. You're rushing to do things. Rushing to enjoy yourself. You know, I know a woman
and
as soon as the sun comes, she spends the first day of sun running to Woodies and all. I need to buy all this furniture for the garden. You know, you don't.
Yeah.
I do. I have no fucking deck chairs. You don't need a deck chair. You just take a... I do. I need a deck chair. What if someone comes over? Oh, my God, we need a new barbecue.
Yeah.
We didn't clean it. The last one. That's gone. We need a new one. And we have to have a paddling pool. And we need a Wendy house. And we need a shelter. And somebody please build a gazebo. Will somebody please build a gazebo? Yo. So the first week or 2 weeks of the sun is gone. It's wasted on this. Yeah.
And then you have to buy a separate shed to store
to store all that crap in.
For the other 48 weeks of the year.
And then the sun's gone. And it goes to shit. And it's like, I can't believe it. Oh my God, that was so disappointing. Oh, what a terrible summer we had. Summer was great.
Yeah.
You wasted it, and now all you remember is the bad days when you had the stuff and didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, because that's, I mean, because like garden furniture, you can pay thousands and thousands for garden furniture that might have to be taken in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And stored.
Or you leave it out and it just looks like rat shit after a few weeks.
Yeah. Because then you've got to start taking the spiders and everything
spiders
out.
Spiders and
when
cobwebs.
You finally get around to it.
Yeah, and how old it gets. You look out and there's just like some fella sitting in your garden. Thank you. You know.
She's to tell you, it's just on to me. Because sun's an awful lot of hassle, isn't it?
It's an awful lot of hassle.
That good weather's an awful lot of hassle. Puts a lot of pressure on you.
But that's why I admire the likes of you, Jim. No matter whether it's sunny or it's not, you're doing the same thing. I have to
hand it. That's kind of true.
You're doing the same thing. You look, Jim, you're going, I love the sun. I love having a pint in the sun. I love it. I love going around the corner. I have a pint in the sun, getting some nice food and enjoying it. I love it. And you go, brilliant, yeah. And then the winter, do you know what I love? I love having a pint on a real cold day, walking down. So you're outside, it's really cold. You get that breeze and you go inside, it's warm. Have a pint. I love it. And then what about the autumn? And all? Oh, jeez, don't get me started. I love it. Walking down, have a pint. The leaves are falling and all. You walk down, you're sitting down, it's that time of year, there's great stuff on the telly, the matches and all. Oh, I love it. Springtime, I just love having a pint there, walking around. Everybody's in such a good mood. Christmas is over, everyone finally has a few quid again. Oh, Patrick's Day, oh, absolutely love it. And don't get me started in the summer when it comes back again. You know,
I've desperately tried to find a reason to disagree with you, but it's absolutely true.
I absolutely love it. And then do you like going on holidays sometimes? Whenever I get a chance, I love it. I love just getting up in your Instagram in Spain. You walk out the door, you find a place to have a pint. You're in your shorts and you have the pint and all. And then you go home in your shorts and you have and you come home and you had a great holiday. You go for a pint.
I am not an alcoholic.
No, he's not. Yeah. But it's like, you know, it's just this wonderful,
right,
simple pleasure.
I am somewhat a creature of habit.
You know, you're like, oh, it's great, great, yeah. Yeah. I've got to go and meet the kid, which is my son and all. He's brilliant, yeah. I haven't seen him in ages. Well, we went out and had a great conversation. We had a pint. He came to my place, which is great because I wasn't going to him. I don't have to say it's a great season, you know, and that's the way you actually should enjoy life, you know, not letting the pressure of the season get to you, just doing what you want to do as an action, like it's like a sauce, you know, the sauce of seasons is put onto it, rather than the pressure.
It's what I love about doing this podcast. We do the podcast and we have a chat and we whatever, and then we go for a pint.
Yeah, go for a pint separately. All the talking is done. You just feel the glow of not having to do it. So it's wonderful, you know.
Ah, it's great.
No one to annoy me.
My life's good, isn't it?
No one to annoy me. Do you know something? Fuck it, I'll have two.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
If you're somebody who is, you know, let's just say you're conscious about your finances and your health, right? It turns out that those two things may be more linked than you would previously have imagined.
I tell you, they're saying that the blatant discrimination is what this is. Apparently there's a sort of a presumption. I'm calling it a presumption. They say there's science behind it. I don't believe it for a minute. That's a fact. Right. I do not believe. They say apparently people who have fit lifestyles and live fitness lifestyles, go to the gym more often, are also better with their finances than people who don't.
Right.
Or who aren't. Or who might maybe are circular in places they're supposed to be square.
If you're health conscious, you're better with your finances, aren't you?
Wow. This is ridiculous. This is blatant discrimination. Imagine going into the bank and all and sitting down and he's there, right, just need to get some facts and figures off you before we grant this loan of $350,000 for your new home. And he'd be there, yeah, no worries. You want to know how much I earn a year? No, those jeans look a little bit tight. Is that a 36?
Yeah. Just want to get your income details. Certainly no problem. I earn not what you earn, your calorie income. What calories do you take
what
in?
What would you say? Would you? When's the last time you went to McDonald's? You know,
yeah, exactly.
I don't mean to be rude, but that button there is fighting for its life on your chest. Is that?
I don't know if I could trust you with this money. Yeah. I mean, you know what they say.
Yeah.
Pounds on the hips, not in the bank account.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's rude. And it's definitely not
surely,
true.
Surely it's one of those things where they assume that somebody's a bit more disciplined in general if they're, I don't know, on a healthy lifestyle kick or something, is it?
I think it's the opposite. They call them the fat cats for a reason. The fat cats. That's what they call wealthy people. And
yeah.
People who are great at finances. They're called, because they haven't got time to exercise. They're too busy taking everybody's money or whatever it is they do. You know, fit people are mostly, I don't know, I just don't buy it. I mean, I don't buy it. Obviously, if I fit into it, I'd say yeah. It was right.
And to be fair, you don't, I mean, look, you know, as you yourself have said, you know, you're not maybe in the shape you were in a couple of years ago when you were like particularly kind of like chiseled, but you're still yeah. ridiculously wealthy.
That's
so I mean,
ridiculous.
It just goes to show.
Neither of those things are true.
You don't have to be, you know, so you're right. It's probably all rubbish. Probably all rubbish.
I'm like a burst beanbag, financially and physically. Is what I'm like.
Yeah, but the thing about it is, though, apparently, if you are one of those, you know, what does it having a fit lifestyle actually mean? Like, you could be one of those people who's monitoring it all the time.
And that's another problem that everyone in the world seems to have. Well, not everyone in the world. Slight overreaction. And a third of the people in Ireland seems to have.
In all of the world and all in anyways.
That's the actual. It says it there, like Jim says. It says literally, a source says, a third of the world and all in anyways, that who have watches and fitness trackers and that, say a third of people that have them now are absolutely obsessed with them.
That's true.
Obsessed with them. And here's the thing. They're obsessed with them whether they have healthy lifestyles or not.
That's also
true. So people who are really healthy and really fit, really, they log their progress, and then there's people who just get them and go, look at me, I'm dying. Oh, God. I'm only sleeping 4 hours a night. Oh, my heart, my angina's going, man. My angina clock says I'm going to die. And they still do it.
You're right.
So some people buy them and they say, this is the kick I need. I'm going to get this and it'll show me how bad things are and then it'll encourage me to get better.
Yeah.
But what happens is they get them, they put them on the wrist and go, well, there's literally no point in me doing anything, is there?
Because that's true, actually. It's like with the steps thing. You know the way the 10,000 steps thing?
Yeah.
When that became a thing. So people get them about to do their 10,000 steps, but really all they do is go through the week going, they only got 3,000, don't they? And then 4,000 that day. Then, well, 2,000 that day.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's inspired them to do the 10. They're just monitoring how far below the 10.
They're like, how did I not even manage to get upstairs the whole day? Not even once.
I can't actually say that's me. Because as PJ will testify, I regularly go, look at that. I've only got 4¾ hours sleep.
Yeah.
But it's just,
Jim does
nothing
that all
seems
time.
To change. I just, now I know.
Now you just know.
Now I don't even wake up and go kind of like, did I feel like I slept well or not? I immediately go to look at the old.
Look at the watch.
What's the Fitbit saying?
Yeah, Jim looks at his watch and goes, oh, there you go. Massively dehydrated. That's what the watch says, isn't it? Watch says I'm massively dehydrated. Completely under-resourced as far as sleep is concerned.
Yeah.
Malnourished. It says I'm malnourished today, it says. It says I did 200 steps in the last 6 months.
Yeah, you're right. It is ridiculous.
I think you're going, what, why are you logging your
how
lack
do you feel?
Of
progress? Doesn't matter how I feel. Look what it says.
Well, in spite of what the watch says, actually, I feel like a biscuit.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
Everybody's always trying to pigeonhole you nowadays.
Everything, yes.
You know, everybody wants. Everybody's trying to pigeonhole you. You get algorithms trying to tell you what you should like and based on what you liked before, what you should like. And, you know, everybody wants to try and put you into a kind of a little box that, oh, if you do this, you'll be into this and all that sort of stuff. And it's happened again, right? Where they're saying now that apparently your sleeping habits could be directly connected. Well, obviously they're connected to your personality.
And
but they've taken
true.
It in kind of funny ways.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, they have.
Like, for example, if you're a horror movie fan.
If you're an extrovert and you like horror movies or you like sleeping in front of the TV or nodding off in front of the TV, it seems that leans to be evidence that you may be someone that likes to sleep in the nip. And then it goes on to say that there are stark differences between those of us, the normal people who sleep in the nip, and people who sleep in pyjamas.
Yeah.
Yeah, stark differences.
So grown-ups, obviously, we're talking about here.
Stark differences. And I will say, one of those differences is confidence. Apparently, people who sleep in the nip show signs of being more confident in their daily lives. It also says they seem to have a more satisfied balance with their partner when it comes to indoor camping or activities of the Amoratic variety.
It seems
that they are very much also into that.
Might be connected to constantly sleeping in the nude.
Yes.
I mean, that might help in the indoor gymnastics Amoratic society world.
Also, they say your astrological sign may sort of come into it. What's your astrology sign again?
I'm Sagittarius.
Sagittarius. Right. You are literally right in the middle of this, which suggests you may wear a pyjamas top and nothing on the bottom.
No, I'm the nipper here. You're the one who does t-shirt and socks.
No, Onion, no, I never do socks, no. That's you. You put that on. You may be able to be Winnie the Pooh.
You are Winnie the Pooh.
Only in the winter.
Winnie the Pooh didn't wear socks.
No, only in the winter. Just,
you are Winnie the Pooh because you only wore a t-shirt.
Only in the winter. I'm fully in the nude. All through the rest of the year.
So hang a second, because where this falls apart is, right, I am somebody, so I do sleep in the nude, and I also have been known to doze off in front of the telly. That was part of it. But I'm not necessarily a horror movie fan.
No.
Not a huge horror movie
fan. Well, I mean, much as...
And I mean, would I be classified as an extrovert? I think not.
Definitely not. You fall into two stills. Much as the identity crisis that is Jim McCabe rolls on thunderously to counteract all science... It happens in every story we do. He is neither chicken nor fish, basically, is what happens a lot of the time.
Great.
And you once again, you've done it again. You're defeating science. Well, it does say that people who are a very small percentage of respondents who sleep in the nude or in pyjamas at all are very satisfied with their sleep quality. People who are neither chicken nor fish, people who can't decide whether they what sort of person they are very dissatisfied with their sleep quality and the amount of it that they get. And ladies and gentlemen, I once again present to you Jim McKay, a man who sleeps once a month standing up.
What's the star sign thing got to do with anything?
It just throws a few. It's the worst of them. The worst pajama wearers, the most prolific pajama pants people are Capricorns. They are the ones most likely to sleep in pajamas, whereas Cancer is most likely to sleep in the nude.
Right.
So
does it give a reason for that?
Well, funny enough, there's not really a great science behind the star sign side of this story, I'll be honest with you. So they don't delve too deeply into it.
Right.
The basic thing you take away from this is extroverted people who sleep better, like horror movies, and sleep in the nude are more confident in their daily lives. People who don't do those things, people who are introverted, and people who hide behind pajamas and house coats or dressing gowns or whatever it is you like to call it, maybe wear a have a flap in the back of your pyjamas as you go to bed with your candle and your pointed hat. If you're one of those people, your sleep quality and confidence is likely to not be as strong as the other people. Yeah.
So once again, we found that based on all the machinations of that particular story you told us, there's different people all over the place.
And some of them happen to be in the nip.
That's about the size of it.
That's what we've learned.
Although a very good question has come in from Tom to say, what about people that fall asleep listening to PJ's story?
Well, it helps, doesn't it?
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
With InsureMyVan.ie, the van insurance specialists. See how much you can save at InsureMyVan.ie.
Nobody's perfect, okay? Let's just preface this by saying nobody's
perfect.
Speak
for yourself.
But there's always regularly things about those little irritations in relationships that crop up. Now, these aren't necessarily, you know, deal breakers. They're not necessarily reasons people go their separate ways. But none of us is perfect. You have to put it, has to be a little bit of give and take, PJ.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
I don't think so, no. Just try and keep up with the person who's doing their best, you know.
Yeah.
Now,
we're talking specifically about,
couples.
I was going to say we're talking about relationships like that, you know, love relationships. But
mostly.
I suppose, you know, you could end up in this situation with potentially a housemate or somebody.
You definitely could. Yeah, no, just any relationships, any sort of place where you're stuck with some other individual.
You're stuck in a room.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody for hours.
You're so lucky I'm not annoying.
Aren't I?
Aren't you just so lucky? And you're so lucky that nobody would ever call me annoying.
So lucky. So lucky.
There's people who are relentlessly foghorning out of them every day and you get this.
Yeah.
What a perfectly lucky man you are. Tell you, and me missus.
Count my blessings.
Yeah, tell you. And they've done a new study. What is the most annoying things that people do? It's always the little things. It really is confirmed. It is the little things that get under people's skin. The repetitive what is it you always say? Death by a thousand cuts. Mm. You know, that's you always say. It includes snoring and farting and being too loud and being untidy and impolite and then other grievances. Then they go on to, and you're not listening to me. I'm trying to say something, you're not listening. Oh, yeah, I'm listening. What did I say? You said,
You said I wasn't listening.
I said, shut up. Well, you know, not listening. Talking over TV shows when one of you is trying to watch a TV show and the other person is just like going, so I tell you won't believe what George did then. He's out to say, he listened to me. No. Well, now you see, we're both doing it.
Yeah.
And then there's being irresponsible with money. That's another one that causes little grievances, you know. It's like, are you after buying a third cake today?
Well, what's it to you?
You know, whatever it is. I don't know. That's a strange example.
Right.
But it could be anything at all like that. Doesn't mean you don't love the person. Doesn't mean any of that sort of stuff. It just means that sometimes you walk into the bedroom, there is a pile of clothes again on the floor in the same place. You ask them multiple times to not put a pile of clothes on.
Yeah.
And
the weird thing is, you know, when you're in that situation where you kind of, you'd hear that list. Now, that list you'd have come up with, right?
Yeah.
And you'd have, you know, in fairness, we'd all have ticked a few of those boxes. Yeah, okay, I'll probably do that a bit. Or I might do that a bit. But then what you always seize on the fact that the ones you don't do, like I wouldn't be a clothes strewer.
No,
I wouldn't, you know what I mean?
No, because I either have the pair of pants I'm wearing or the pair that's in the wash. So it doesn't, it's not one of those problems.
So you kind of, you know, you see the good in yourself. You don't see the ones that maybe you might fall into.
Exactly. Snoring, I don't hear myself do it. So I decide I don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, being too loud. I don't think I'm too loud. If you don't mind me saying. But then I read sort of, you know, the farting thing. Okay, there's a problem there, right? But that's a small ailment.
And in fairness, you know, the irresponsibility with money. I basically just give over all my responsibility.
Yeah.
I take no responsibility for it.
At all. Neither
so
do I.
So I can't be irresponsible.
How much do I owe every month?
Just tell me what I owe. Just give me a number. Just how much do I have to give to you for me not to have to worry about all the things that go on around me, like, you know, how much it costs to get the bins collected or whatever.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I don't know. You're right, I don't know. I have no idea. Will you just take that amount?
And we're like a lot of people where we're penny smart and pound stupid. That, you know, we're very much like that. What? €4 for a coffee? Are you out of your mind? So what if people can't pay bills? You know...
Yeah.
And then we're like, you go,
and then you see a motorbike and you go,
oh,
look at that.
Yeah, but that one's silver. I don't have a silver one.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
I've got two children. Nobody needs two children. Surely I could sell one of them and get that motorbike.
Because people love to put clothes on children around their own and buy things. There's charities and all that do that.
Is there anything on it that jumped out at you?
There is. I had a row last night nearly. Well, not a row, but we had a heated discussion. This is something that drives me demented, right?
And you know something? I have a feeling that Paulie and Finglas has...
hit the nail on the head.
I think so.
What did he say?
He said, when someone is on their phone watching a show or film...
Paulie! High five! Radio high five, Paulie! It drives me... demented, right?
Yeah.
If the telly's on and you're on your phone, who cares? If it's on, if it's just on, you're in the background, you're sitting in the room together, you're eating a sandwich, you're happily ignoring each other or throwing an odd word.
Because you celebrate use of the phone.
I do. You know, I'm all about it.
In all sorts of things, while other people are eating.
I don't care what you're stuffing in your face, but that's the deal. It's your business. But when you say, oh, will we watch this? And someone goes, yes, let's watch that. We are now in a group activity. We have now entered into, this is an activity for us to do together. And then somebody starts texting on the phone. That to me is, well, are we watching this or will we just turn it off? And then again, I only get to be on the phone once a day. Now, I'm not sure, I don't want to point this at anyone in particular.
No.
Right?
Nobody would have picked up on that.
No, this could be anyone's relationship.
It could be anybody you're talking about.
I'm not talking about me. It could be anyone, right?
Obviously.
But someone might theoretically say, I hardly even touched the phone today. What are you talking about? Get out of here. Give me a break. God damn it. And I go, no, you're actually on the phone in the show earlier was on.
Yeah.
And I go, me? What about you? I was like, I watch only when there's a break on or whatever. Oh, yeah.
Wow, you
Mr.
really.
Mr. Perfect over here.
Hoo-ha.
Hoo-ha. What you gonna do? But it drives me mad. It drives me absolutely spare.
Wow.
All the farting, belching, impoliteness, not listening, all in the world, none of that doesn't add up to that for me.
Yeah. So you do all of those other things.
Yeah.
She just might happen to glance at her phone, but that is a deal breaker.
Everything in moderation, Jim.
Glory days. It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim on Radio Nova.
As you know, obviously, PJ Gallagher here, my learned friend and colleague, is a huge star, huge celebrity, has been for many, many, many years, has enjoyed the immense highs.
This is ridiculous.
Of celebrity status and wealth that has gone with that. But has remained humble, a man of the people. The amount of times that I've been in the man's company and he'll quite happily have his photograph taken and adulation poured upon him and say nothing more about it. Whereas not every celebrity's like that, you know. Sometimes you need to pay for that level of access and that level of privilege.
Of course you do. You see all these cameo things and all these apps that are out there now and you have to pay some fella, some agent, like Nigel Farage or something, £5 to get him to say happy birthday.
Yeah, but, or in his case, what did he say? Up the raw.
Up the raw. Yeah. Talk about not knowing your audience. Barack Obama, though, he's coming to the Three Arena. He's got a big gig. Doing the songs of Bruce Springsteen. Chatting, obviously. On the 26th of September. And the basic tickets start at €25. But the VIP package that you get, that sort of like, you get a book and premium seating and the whole lot. And a picture with them. Just over two grand. €2,079. To get that particular ticket that comes with a photograph.
So to get a
two grand for a
good
photo.
Seat. A good seat, a
book
and a
photograph. Yeah.
Oh, man. €2,000.
I just hate it. Yeah. €2,000 to essentially get it. You can get the book yourself.
Yeah, so the book
you
top
can see
end
the show for
25. £20, say, right?
Yeah.
And the seat top end, what would that be? £100?
Gee, I think
I don't know.
And you're not even guaranteed. You're not even guaranteed the photograph. You have to then get the security clearance and all that, you know.
Because that photograph thing with celebrities is, we've done this before where there's, you know, people who'll charge huge money to have a photograph with, you know, big pop stars or whatever. And you're not even allowed, it's not like sort of, they come over to you, go, oh God, how are you going, PJ?
Put their arm around you.
It's literally, okay, you stand over there.
You stand.
Sorry, where that line is. Yeah. The other side of that line, stand over there.
Secret Service, so they're going, don't you, I see you.
Then they charge fortunes for it.
Fortunes, yeah. Honest to God. And like Avril Lavigne, she was the famous one where there was like a whole 2 metre distance, as if there was still COVID going on between her and the fans who paid for the pictures.
Yeah.
You couldn't stand anywhere near her.
I get the idea that you would get, because literally I've been in your company when it's happened to you. You can get people who get a bit handsy.
I can.
You know, or get a bit too sort of, you know,
familiar.
Clammy, or they think they're being hilarious when the photographs are about to be taken and they want to lick your face or something and they think it's all funny. Yeah. Like, so I can understand you
grab
need...
Grab you by the ghoulies. Yeah. I had a woman grab me by the ghoulies. That's actually assault. That's a crime.
I was there.
It's against the law.
I was there. I was the one laughing behind. Yeah. So the... So I understand you need some rules.
Yeah, you do
but
need
if
rules.
If you're going to ask somebody to pay fortunes, at least be able to stand and look like you want to have the photograph taken.
For £2,000, you can have a picture of me in the nip. And that's the truth.
Careful now.
£2,000.
Careful, there's a few people texting into this show will take you up on that
offer.
£2,000,
that's the price, no problem. Send to Rex Public. I'll send a hard copy framed.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. Like, I don't know.
Is there anybody that you've admired or idolised in your life that you'd pay £2,000 to have a photograph with?
If Elvis jumped out of the grave and did a gig in my bedroom, I wouldn't pay £2,000 for a photograph. You wouldn't pay £2,000 for a photograph with anyone.
Yeah.
Not with anyone.
I can't think of anybody.
Like, I wouldn't honestly even pay for the cameo. So I can't charge for it. People just walk up to me and I give it away for free.
Right.
Yeah. You wouldn't say hello to me, ma, and all. I'd do me voice message, me answering message and all.
Yeah.
Just do it for free. You know, I can't charge for that sort of stuff.
You're going to be inundated with that now. You're going to be sorry.
Yeah, it won't change anything. It won't change anything. You know, people come over to do a video there. I'm there. I'm sorry. I'm in the hospital. Just do the video. You know, that kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Is that thing still big? Is that still big, that whatever cameo thing or whatever? Is it still?
I don't know. I think it's probably gone backwards a little bit. It's still, people still do it. They still do it. The worst thing is...
Remember I told you about that guy who's advertising himself on Twitter or X, whatever it is now. And basically, this is his words. This is him talking about himself, right? So don't come at me about this. But he's saying... If you want a fat bloke at your wedding.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And you can contact him. Now,
He's not famous or anything.
No.
He's just a fella, yeah.
He's and that's his thing. And he'll go to your... Why? I don't know.
I don't know.
What the demand is, I don't know either.
It's like if you want to look skinny or something.
I don't know.
Stand beside you or something.
I don't know.
This is an actual service.
I think he feels that it sort of adds something to the ambience of a wedding.
Yeah. He changes
so
the tone
obviously
of the room.
Obviously, there's a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of stuff out there you can make money from. So the cameo thing is still going, is it?
It's still going, but like, I don't know. Anyway, I'm not well known enough for that, really. I don't think, you know.
I don't know. There's some strange ones on it.
I know, but remember I went in Cork and the fella went to the pub. Look who it is. And the other fella going, I don't know him. He goes, yes, you do. He goes, that's your man from the naked camera. And your man's there going,
I don't know you, I'm sorry.
Remember that thing?
I suppose I should.
I was like, forget about it. You don't need to know who I am.
I am sorry, though.
Please, please, don't say sorry. There's no reason you should know me. He goes, yes, there is. You're off that show. Even your man didn't know the name of the show. You're off that show.
Yeah. You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie or on the Nova app.